is videotape number 10, Track C, Putting Intrusion Detection into Intrusion Detection Systems.
John for about, what, maybe 10 years?
Yeah.
8 years?
John, 30, 40 pounds, anyway.
Me or you?
Yes.
He's a very interesting speaker. He's been in the business for over 30 years doing odds and ends. He's finally legitimized himself by getting a real job. I'm impressed. I'm on the other end of the scale. I want to go do what he used to do. The only thing I can really say is when I come up to release him from talking, we can go to the reception.
Ooh.
John David.
Okay. Today's topic is a little bit weird sounding, almost like a marketing person made it, God save us. Putting intrusion detection into intrusion detection systems. Now, why? Why do we have intrusions? This is 1999. The technology has advanced at such a fantastic rate. We've got firewalls that will do absolutely everything for you. Just ask any vendor. Hell, don't ask the vendors. Let them get your name on a mailing list. Every one of them is better than the rest. We've got routers that are barely distinguishable from firewalls. Why in the world do we have intrusions? About 5 years ago, 4 years ago, whatever it was, CSI did a survey, and something like 70% of the companies they surveyed had suffered intrusions, and about two-thirds of those having suffered intrusions suffered them after installing firewalls. Firewalls have to be properly configured. They have to be properly maintained. They have to be run by people, and there are many, many, many fewer people capable of doing security than the needs for them arise. We have intrusions, and we will continue to have intrusions because security is a reactive discipline. Why do we have intrusion detection? If you're going to have intrusions, you might as well have intrusion detections. We have, if nothing else, it gives companies a right to sell intrusion detection products, which is good for the economy. In the old days, before my hair turned gray, working security meant your top priority was keeping out the bad guy. Actually, pretty much, it was your exclusive priority. These days, while we still want to keep the bad guy out, we know he's going to get in. Our number one priority now is to detect intrusions as quickly as possible, minimize the damage they can do, and hopefully figure out how they happen so we can prevent it from happening again. Total paradigm shift from the old days. Now, where did I come up with this putting intrusion detection into intrusion detection systems? I was interested in intrusion detection. I thought I knew a bit about it. And I would see sessions being given at different conferences called intrusion detection. And I'd go, and they were typically hosted by vendors who would describe the perfect intrusion detection system, which, surprise, surprise, resembled what they were selling, of course. And I took a look, and the intrusion detection that they were providing was always outside the perimeter defense, always. And it was only reporting attacks. Not only was it only reporting attacks, but it was reporting attacks that were deflected, attacks that your firewalls or routers, whatever, could detect. I'm sorry. I don't want to know about the attacks that you deflected. I mean, I do. It's nice to know. I want to know about the attacks that you didn't deflect. I want to know about the stuff that bypassed the perimeter defenses. I was very disappointed And what really alarmed me as a participant in the field was that many companies were going out, recognizing the importance of intrusion detection, and buying intrusion detection systems. Well, I tell you, if my perimeter defense rejects 1,000, 10,000 attempts to get in a day, I'm happy, because that's what I put it there for. But I don't have to be alerted every time it does it. Hey, I deflected this, I deflected this, I deflected a little bit too much. I thought it would be nice if we put actual intrusion detection into these intrusion detection systems. Oh dear. Now, let us define intrusion detection. And by the way, you're going to discover that there's a big difference between intrusion detection and an intrusion detection system. These are not word games. It's very important. Intrusion detection was defined by Ed Amoroso in a new book, definitely worthwhile, called Intrusion Detection, copywritten this year. It's the process of identifying and responding to malicious activities targeted at computing and network resources. Now please notice, intrusion detection has two parts, identifying and responding. Two parts. If all you do is identify it, you know, that's like seeing the face of the guy who's about to murder you. You'll go to your grave knowing who it was, but that's about it. It's never happened to me, as you can tell by my sitting here, but I'm not really sure it would matter a hell of a lot to me who it was. But what I'm trying to get at is identifying is only half the job. Now, if I was setting up this whole conference rather than the session, I might have a session or two on incident response. But this responding is a very important part of intrusion detection. Come up with another definition, again from Ed, again from the same book. Intrusion, any violation of policy. I don't think I've been to a session all day that didn't mention policy. But policy is it. And intrusion is a violation of policy. If you don't have policies, you can't have security. Oh, I'm sorry, you can't have wrong security. Perfect security is not what keeps all the bad guys out and stuff like that. Perfect security is an implementation of your policies. If you take a look at this, remember, we have to spot an intrusion. You got Company A. Company A says you can have no port scans. Company B does internal hourly port scans just to make sure that everything's, all services are up and responding. So, is a port scan an intrusion activity? Depends on your policy. Again, Company A says you can telnet outbound or inbound 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Obviously, if somebody tries to telnet around midnight, you know something's wrong. On the other hand, Company B says telnet out is always okay. Telnet in, you can 8 a.m. to midnight. Company B, if it's an 11 p.m. telnet, if it's outbound, it's okay. If it's inbound, no, actually it's okay. So it's 1 a.m. If it's 1 a.m. Again, you can't tell what an intrusion is unless you have a policy. And unfortunately, my experience is that most organizations do not have policies in place. Darn it. I keep hitting the end button. This is a new machine. Now, we have different intrusion types, or what I consider to be intrusion types. These are my definitions, by the way. I can't blame anybody for them. It's just that I think they're major differences. There are three prime categories. External attacks on perimeter defense. Now, this is what your intrusion detection equipment systems looks like now. Now, these those cells are of two types, successful and unsuccessful. If they're successful, it's hard to know about them up front. You'll find out about them soon enough, but you're not going to know about it up front for a system to tell you. We have external attacks bypassing perimeter defense. Bypassing it. What do I mean by bypassing it? It doesn't breach your firewall, it circumvents it. How does it do that? Well, dialing modem. Last year, I reviewed the security at a hospital. They had something like 300 dial-in lines associated with modems, analog lines going to modems, 300 bypasses running PC Anywhere or Carbon Copy or some crap like that. 300 paths people could take to get in, totally bypassing the perimeter defense. Sort of bypassing the perimeter defense is something like shoulder surfing. You're on a plane, you're on a train, you see somebody keying in their passwords or something, you pick it up, you're into their system if you want. If you hear hackers interviewed, Tiger Team people, the prime discipline they use to break into systems is social engineering. They call up, they pretend to be from the computer department, the engineering department, the electrical department, whatever. They con people into giving them enough information to get in. Well, in those cases, you don't have anybody password guessing at your firewall. They know the password. They're not the ones who're supposed to have it, but they know it. But again, you're not having any static with your perimeter defense. We come to the last category, which is internally originated misuse. Again, I break this down into three types. Fun and games. You're running a football pool. You're just surfing the web. I don't care what you're doing. Again, you're pretty much just wasting company resources. Then I have mostly personal. Instead of running an office pool, you're running a bookie operation. If the police catch you, your company's probably not going to get in trouble. But you sure as hell are. Something even more serious might be something like running a porn ring, regular porn, kiddie porn. I'm not sure what the laws are, but your company's going to get a black eye. And again, you're breaking a law. Heavy stuff is actual hacking, just like you would do from home. You're just using the company machine to do it. The hacking can be your own systems inside, or it can be other systems outside. You're just using the resources of your company. It is much, 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 much easier to hack once you're inside. As any hacker would tell you, the prime goal of any hacker is to get into a system. And getting in is something you've already done if you're on the inside already. Look at some statistics. 90%, 86 to 90% of all network break-ins are internal, or of internal origin. These are FBI figures from the CSI website, quoted by Bill Hancock earlier this year in Network Security. 1995 figures, 1998 said 70%. But again, we're still well over two-thirds are of internal origin. Now, these IDS products that they're trying to sell you, they're only handling half the job since they're only handling intrusions and not response, identification, not response. So that's half of the work you need done isn't being done. We now take another two-thirds that's internal. Oh, Lord, Lord. Oh, come on. This computer does not like me. You take a look, we had half a job to begin with. 70% has now gone from those internal things. So we're left with 30% or 50%, 15% is all that's left of external attacks. that are on the perimeter of the fence and bypass it. Not a hell of a lot. Oh, Lord. Please, no. The computer is not working. I am hitting... Jack, you broke my computer. Bear with me a minute. I'm gritting my teeth not to say naughty words. Well, it did some movement. Okay. Yes. As I said, when you go and you buy, I'm sorry, when you listen to talks on intrusion detection systems, or at least when I do, I hear about vendors putting stuff outside your perimeter defense and detecting attacks. That's fine. But for me, intrusion means inside. Oh, sure, deflected attacks eat up my resources. Oh, absolutely, the deflected attacks can make me hone my internal defenses to make them better. But basically, the damages are done inside. My family jewels are inside. The stuff I'm protecting is inside. So intrusion detection belongs inside. It doesn't mean, it's not that you have a choice in and out. You can put it wherever you want. You can put it all places, and it's one of the things you really should do. But if you had to choose inside or outside, inside is where the intrusion does the damage. A burglar coming to your house certainly may cause a mess prying open your door or shattering your window. However, when he walks out with your safe or your box of jewelry, gems, whatever, your rare paintings, that's where you get your loss, inside. Now, here is something that is going to be hard to read. Unfortunately, life is not perfect, except on my wife's side of the family. Let me tell you what we have here. In the middle, we have your perimeter defense. And that's sort of made up of... I have perimeter defenses, which is primarily deflected attack log, and a log of all traffic. It's the information available from the perimeter. To the left, I have your regular users and hackers. To the right, I have your regular employees and your assets, your family jewels. If you look at the left, I have a little intrusion detection box. If that box outside your perimeter defense looks at incoming traffic, it sees regular traffic, and it sees intrusion attempts. That same box, if it looks at outgoing traffic, it sees regular traffic, it sees intrusion results, it sees employee misuse results. What do I mean by intrusion results? If you're working on secret project X, or you're planning to acquire company Y. Those are both secret operations. And there are messages going out containing things like Project X, company Y. You know something's happening that shouldn't be happening. And whether it's caused by an internal employee or somebody breaking in from the outside, you don't care, but you know that something wrong is going out. Look at the intrusion detection on the inside. Again, incoming, it sees regular traffic. It sees successful perimeter defense attacks. Those are attacks that breach the firewall. It sees other intrusions. Those are attacks that bypass the firewall, such as dialing. Outgoing, it sees regular traffic, intrusion activities, employee misuse. Now, it's very important to understand that everything there other than regular traffic is important. You want to know about it. At the same time, you want to know about it all. If you can't know about it all for some reason, you have to decide what's most important. And again, I will point out to you that with more than two-thirds of the problems being of internal origin, it would seem to me that if you could only put it one place, if you can only put it one place, the inside would be the place to put it. I'd have to put one small caveat to that. Some companies are much more sensitive to denial of service attacks than to any loss of assets. They don't have any information internally that they think is that critical. Communication with one another is what really counts. For them, in that situation, denial of service is the killer. That tends to be an external detection device. But can't always do anything about those anyway. But again, it is very, very important to understand what comes where. What intrusion detections do, unfortunately, in the vast majority of cases, there is no specific definition of intrusion. In a way, there can't be, because what's an intrusion for one person's company is not an intrusion for another person's company, because their policies are different. Pretty much, what intrusion detection systems, now remember, the purpose of them is to identify intrusions and then react to them. All they can do up front is identify suspicious occurrences that warrant attention. These are not uniform, again, because they differ from company to company. What are some warning signs they look for? Violations of policy. For example, attempts to access prohibited services. I work now on Telnet is prohibited. If I try to Telnet, it gets rejected. When it happened the first time, I said, why? They said, we don't allow it. If I keep doing it, there's a good chance that I'm trying to break something I shouldn't be breaking. I would like to think they would notice it and say something to me. There is typical intruder activity. Historically, we have seen that somebody does not break in to create a file, Kilroy was here. They come in and they will put in a backdoor so they can get in again. They'll come in, one of the first things they usually do is a port scan. A whole bunch of typical intruder activities, we look for those. Now again, based on your policy, they may not be wrong, but these are some of the things that intrusion detection systems can do. Suspicious message content. Again, before I mention things like, you know, Project X or Company Y or something, but you know, something like Etsy password. It is highly unlikely that somebody's been coming into your system with Etsy password in their text for legitimate reasons. That doesn't look like a horse race name to me. Whatever. Changes to select resources. There are certain files that shouldn't be changing. Or if there is a change, there should be a counter change in some other file that directs it, doesn't balance. If one of these changes, indication something is amiss, or certainly may be amiss, these resources can be real resources, actual live files, or they can be what we call honeypot, decoy files. whereby you put in a file, it looks interesting, on the called acquisition plans, or called top secret, something clever like that, that requires root access or something. And you know that anybody who breaks in is going to go for that first, or you hope so. Put in a dummy file. Atypical loading or usage. If I normally work 9 to 5, if I did. I thought a real job would give that to me. If I normally work 9 to 5, and all of a sudden, my user ID and password is associated with continuous usage till midnight. That's odd. Maybe it's worth checking. Maybe if somebody picked up my user ID and password. If all I ever do is word processing and email, and all of a sudden I'm downloading a lot of stuff from the web, or I'm telnetting out a lot of stuff. Again, that's a sign that something goes. And they're just, the list is barely finite. And unfortunately, the list is growing on a rapid basis. But those pretty much are the basic warning signs. No. Okay. We come to the second statistic. More than 95% of the incidents reported by intrusion detection systems are false alarms. That's real important. I heard a man earlier this year give a talk on intrusion detection. Excuse me. What he said was, it's great to have people involved, but the only way an intrusion system will be worthwhile is if you have an automatic response. Then he goes on to say that most of your incidents are false alarms. I'm sorry. Is it me? Yes.
Has that conference actually happened yet?
No, it says October 99.
Okay, but you got the stat from them?
Well, Jack,
yeah.
Will you want to answer the man?
I run a conference, or I help run a conference for NSA and NIST in Washington, D.C.
Okay. I
just saw a session planned in which Sammy, who is a DARPA representative, made that statement to John.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I've got Sammy's power. I'm running the conference. I'm sorry, the session. Session. I've got Sammy's PowerPoint presentation on here. And I just figured that... by the way, if you're interested in intrusion detection, Sammy from DARPA is one of the participants. The Ed Amoroso, who wrote the intrusion detection book, is the second. And the third, and there are only three participants, is Marcus Ranum, who spoke a couple sessions ago on burglar alarms. It should be a rather good panel. Sammy's not the only one who has said this. Everybody who knows it, anybody who works in it, says it, because most of it is false alarms. It doesn't mean you don't have to look at them, but you certainly aren't going to do any sort of automatic response to them, or you'll be in rather bad trouble. Now, if you want to go, I just want to make, this thing is, if you want an intrusion detection system, what do you want? Now, again, remember, you want to be able to capture stuff, information, identify the events, you want to be able to respond to them. You want a high-speed, high-capacity packet capture. For those of you who don't recognize it, I could have said sniffer, but you want a powerful sniffer, a fast sniffer, a big sniffer. You want to be able to get the traffic. Preferably, this will be readily configurable and transparent. What do I mean by readily configurable? Well, if you think you're having trouble with TCP traffic, you can set it up instantaneously to take only TCP, or only ICMP, or only UDP, or only UDP and ICMP. You want it to be readily configurable. So that if something looks suspicious, you can hone this and get more data on it. Transparent is you certainly don't want it to interfere with your operation. You don't want it to slow down your operation. It would be nice if it had a powerful, flexible, adaptive analytical engine. What do I mean by that? Well, if you're just gathering packets, that's great. That's an information storage system. You want to be able to do some analysis of it to see if it's harmful or not, or it's potentially harmful. That stuff's coming in pretty fast. You want something that, after it captures it, that can analyze this in time to do you some good. I don't want somebody to shoot a gun at me from the back of the room, and then 30 seconds later somebody says, "John, somebody's shooting a bullet at you," because he's going to be talking to my heirs and successors. You want something that can keep up with your data streams. Now, this can be part of the capture, or it can be a parallel process. What do I mean by that? If it's part of the capture, there may be 5, 10, 50 intrusion types you're worried about. As you capture traffic, you try and determine if there's any of those 5, 10, 50 things you're worried about. On the other hand, most often, in my experience, companies, organizations are worried about 2, maybe 3 specific intrusion types. Online, they will do this. They'll check for if it's one of those 2 or 3 types. Then on a process parallel to your sniffer, they'll analyze the data captured by the sniffer. Not on the fly. It's like a few packets worth behind, a few microseconds behind. But again, it is a bit of a delay that enables you to do a quick response to the truly important stuff. You want quick and clear alarming and reporting. Quick means when something is possibly wrong, you want to know about it now. Not in 20 minutes, not at 0900 the first business day. You want to know about it now. You want it to be clear. Clear means smurf attack. It doesn't mean something is wrong. No, I'm sorry, something is wrong. Your reporting mechanism is wrong. It should be clear. You want comprehensive and interactive data event query and response. Gee, that sounds pretty good. Comprehensive and interactive data event query and response. You get an event, it's possibly a signal that something is wrong. You want to look at other information that pertains to it. What other information? Well, it depends on what's reported. You may want to look at other traffic from the same IP source address for a given time period. Or you may want to look at all traffic of that same type for a given time period. Or you may want to look at all traffic to a given destination, or from a source to a destination, or from a source to a destination of a type. Whatever it is you want, because you guys, you're the experts, or the people using your IDS are going to be the experts, the system should be able to give you. I won't say instantaneously, because that's a marketing term, But pretty much, if you take a look and there appears to be somebody from an IP address that's messing around with your system in a way you don't like, I would think the first thing you'd want to do is, what other traffic have I gotten from that IP address in the last day, hour, whatever? Next thing you might want to look at is, what other traffic have I gotten of this type from any IP address? The system should be able to give it to you so you can make an intelligent decision. And again, this is an interactive query response. You want dynamic reconfiguration capability. If you're looking at what? If you're looking at something and you determine that you want a different type of defense, a type of defense better honed to the problems you're experiencing, you want to be able to say, do it, and have it done. And you want this to be able to get done immediately. I set up a system whereby if an event occurred, I'm sorry, there are two levels of events, serious and other. Serious totally bypassed the help desk. It beeped my sysadmins. I had two. Almost impossible it had to beep me. Had it been one, I would have set up something different. I don't like to get beeped. But of the non-critical, if it was the first event within, the first occurrence of an event within 5 minutes, in the last 5 minutes, they ignored it. If it was the second occurrence of the event in 5 minutes, they altered the filtering mechanism, the filtering profile for the type of traffic. The way they altered it depended on what was causing the alarm, but there was what I would call an enhanced security profile for what might be the attack. If it happened the third time, then they beeped. But again, you want to be able to do this quickly. You don't want to get a message and have somebody beeped and have them have to log onto a system and give commands and have it chunk out. It could take 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes minimum. And quite literally, in a matter of seconds, your system can be destroyed. You want something, that can be done when you want it. Ease of use is another thing. Now, this is an example. I didn't want to be vendor specific. I'm not mentioning a vendor. This just happens to be a very simple-minded attack, an attack filter. I picked a land attack. In the land attack, the source and destination IP addresses are the same. And this is a filter that detects a land attack. Pretty much, it just defines it. And it says, if the source, next line is the source, is destination, that's the only check it does. Resembles C code if you're familiar with it. It says record the system time, IP source, or Ethernet source to land recorder, which is the destination. And for the output message, it says concatenate, the destination address is being attacked. This packet came from whatever Ethernet address you got on the subnet. And then it issues a specific alert. This could be, if you wanted a less extensive message, it could be less. But basically, this is a trivial thing to create. You can get intrusion detection systems with nice, easy-to-use languages so that creating filters or any rules you want of your own are truly trivial. This is just an example. I had 3 pages of this. I took 2 of them out last night. Drill down is an information term. It's what you really want to do for intrusion detection. You're capturing all the information that's going across your line. You may be going at, you know, 10 megahertz, 100, whatever it is. You're getting a whole bunch of information. And all of a sudden an event happens that requires your attention. You take a look on the screen, you got all traffic. Well, you take a look at it, and you scroll down the screen for a while, and you take a look, and one source looks interesting. One IP source address. So you just tell it, give me all for this source. And zap, within a second, not instantaneous. Again, that's a marketing term that someone got me in trouble with a long time ago. All of a sudden, instead of getting all IP traffic, you just get all IP traffic from that one source address. And you look at it and you say, well, look, the problem seems to be going to this destination. Now show me all IP traffic just this one destination. And wonder of wonders, you hit the button, and within a second, it shows you just from this source to the destination. If you want to go and narrow that down further, let's say it happened now. So you say, I want to see it between the hours 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. It shows you 5 p.m., 6 p.m. Is that okay? I don't know. Show me 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. last week, this day. Hit the button, that appears. You can see if there's any visible difference. This, if you think about it, if you want to respond to an event that only may be damaging, you've got to get this additional information. You want a system that provides this for you. Okay, I'm going to give some general points. For intrusion detection, as with everything else, you can't do everything. If you try to do everything, your system will be so swamped it won't be able to keep up with a low-speed line, let alone a high-speed line. There are hundreds of attack filters. If you try applying hundreds of attack filters to each packet you get, you're going to start dropping packets on anything above 50 baud. You prioritize. We're in an IP age, so typically, intrusion detection concentrates on IP traffic. What does that mean? It means other traffic you don't worry about. Can you be hurt there? Yeah, but the cost effectiveness isn't there. I mean, a major area you skip by concentrating on IP is IPX, which is the Nobel discipline, but even Nobel is getting rid of IPX. If you stick with IP traffic, you get TCP/IP, UDP, ICMP, major types. First things first is your next item to look at. You want to get your highest priority done first in real time, lesser priorities on near real time. As I said before, if there are two or three attacks that you're really worried about, you check them on the fly. While you're capturing the data, you check. Otherwise, after you've stored the data, and again, we're talking about a small fraction of a second on a parallel process, you check those others. I said, too much of almost anything is not too good. If you try to do too much, you'll slow yourself down. I mean, it's like if I have to carry a whole bunch of stuff from here to my room, it'd be real great if I could pick it all up at once and carry it. On the other hand, if it weighed so much that I collapsed halfway there and had to be taken to the hospital, it would have paid to make it in two trips. As I say, if there are hundreds of filters, that's several hundred too many, as an example. Location, location, location. I got that from a realtor. Location is the most important thing in the world. Now, I discuss things like inside versus outside placement. This is not an either or. It should be both. But where do you put them inside? You put them where you need them, where they'll be of most help. Where's that? Well, typically at choke points. If you've got something like a router, let's see, you got 4,000 lines coming in, one end of the router, one line going into the other. If you put one little intrusion detection device on that one line, you can sort of sample what's going in and out of 4,000 lines. Sounds like a good place, a choke point. A typical network will have several of these choke points. What does that mean? It means you put in several intrusion detection systems. If you can. Now, I have used an intrusion detection system in which the hardware and software were significantly under $5,000. I have seen others where it was quite a bit more. I'm not saying mine was the right choice. Mine was the choice I made for me. I'm not saying I'd recommend it to you. You do a risk analysis. If there's a loss, you look what it will cost you to minimize the chance of that loss happening. If it's worth it, you do it. Intrusion detection systems are a very important thing. Next, the world is changing daily, if not hourly. What that means is that as we're here talking, a new intrusion may be occurring someplace. A new type of intrusion, an X intrusion, a Y intrusion, a SAMI intrusion, a MAX intrusion, a MARI intrusion, whatever. We had a Melissa, why not have a MARI? Your systems have to be able to adapt to it. It's not static. And the more current an intrusion is, the more likely you are to get variants of it. Because if there's an intrusion of a new type, then all of a sudden, you know, 15,000 interested parties worldwide get a sample of the code off of the net. And they say, hell, this is simple. I could make it better than that. And they do. So just like Melissa had a few days later of the Papa virus, you know, whatever comes out today, you'll see another variant tomorrow or the day after. Your system's got to be adaptive. The use should fit the users. If you've got a good team of sysadmins, if they know what stuff means, if they can react to raw information presented in a technically intelligent fashion, you do things one way. On the other hand, if all you got pretty much is button pushers, and you have to write out, this is what you do, push this button, you know. You design the system to fit the users. Now, I'm talking about the tech users now, not the end users. Your security officer, your sysadmin. If you got good techs, you give them tech information. If you got, which is the best kind to give because they can make an intelligent decision. If you got people who are not as technically astute, you got to do a lot of guessing for them. Pretty much you got to tell them, this is the information, and 84% of the time, action A is better. The other 16% action B is better. So they're always going to take A. Whereas the tech will look at 100% of the information, and he'll get a feel for some anomaly that'll tell him when to do the other way. Again, you set the system to fit your users. Last general point is beware of automation. Again, this is back to the majority, vast majority, 19 out of 20, are false alarms. You start automating things, and you're cutting your own throat. And we're left with, this is sort of a recap. It's important. Intrusion detection is a two-part process. It involves identification and response. You're identifying malicious actions. You're responding to them. Intrusions can be of external or internal origin. And again, since the beginning of computer time, recent surveys, the vast majority are of internal origins. There is no doubt that out, in spite of my harping on intrusion means inside, inside is where the damage is, outside is important. Things like denial of services and redeployment of defenses if you're under attack. And somehow I seem to have left out a right parenthesis, but it's there virtually. Looking at the inside, though, shows successful outside attempts and shows inside activity. You get a lot more by looking on the inside. The vast majority of incidents reported are false alarms. This is very, very, very important to realize because, again, I think back to the first time a very large company, one of the oil companies, called me. I had designed an antivirus methodology for them back in the later 80s. They called me. They had a virus report. They had a virus hit. And they literally stopped their operations. And I went in and checked it out, and there was no virus. The next time they called me, I still went down same as before, but they continued their operations. And there was no virus. Again, it was a false alarm. I don't know if it's the third time, but they never bothered calling me again. False alarms can really drain you if you act on them. Now, you got to have some methodology for determining what's really a false alarm and not. Your IDS tools must be powerful, flexible, responsive, intelligible. Powerful, obviously, keep up with your high-speed lines. Flexible, adapt to the different requirements. Responsive, if something happens, you got to get a quick response. Intelligible, they've got to be able to communicate with you in terms you can understand. Now, intrusion detection, two elements, right? It's the identification and response. That's intrusion detection. An intrusion detection system is a fixed product. With a fixed product, you know what you should have, and they'll tell you they're selling you what you should have, but all they're doing is selling you what they got. So, that's it. Are there any questions? Questions? Nothing? Comments?
Is there anything available that approaches this or projects report?
Oh, sure.
Repeat the question.
Is there anything that approaches this now or stuff in the works that approaches now? As you can tell from that real cute little blue logo on the upper right corner, I work for AT&T, and I've been there almost 2 months now. AT&T, as an example, has a managed intrusion detection service. The main device they use, the probes for connecting, for doing the testing and gathering of information, are Net Rangers. They're Cisco Net Rangers now. They used to be Wheel Group Net Rangers. So obviously the Net Ranger product, I'm obligated to say, fills that bill. In addition to Net Ranger, for greater capabilities, AT&T uses ODS. And I don't want to seem snide because basically they're both fine products. I knew them both, and in a former life, I was planning to use the ODS product, but I was going to use it not to support NetRanger. I was going to use it to support NFR. And again, if any of you here heard Marcus Raynham, I guess two talks ago, in the room across the hall, Marcus is CEO of NFR. NFR is a super sniffer. That ENCODE example I gave was Marcus's stuff. But again, the others have equivalent things. I chose Marcus's product at the time because I knew what it could do. I had access to Marcus, and it was very inexpensive. $2,000 a pop, quantity one. There is lots of stuff out there. But again, you've got to know how to use it. Please remember, you are not buying a package solution. If you're buying a package solution, by definition, it doesn't work. Because again, what you need is a function of your policy, not somebody else's policy. Your policy. The alert messages you get have to be meaningful to you, not somebody else to you. Yes?
I'm interested in getting a hard copy of your presentation. I didn't see it in here.
For some reason, I sent it to Jeff. He had an old address for me. His thing got bounced. I sent it to him. He didn't get it. And it was weird because I thought I had an hour and a half. Turns out I only had an hour. Last night I was chopping slides off. If you have an email address, I can send you PowerPoint.
It'll be on blackhat.com in 2 weeks.
Okay. Okay. Anything else?
Take the questions afterwards. I don't want to hold people up for the reception later. Let me give you a heads up on tomorrow. I'll think of his name. Simple Nomad is speaking in Girk's spot. We swapped those two. Girk spoke this morning. In the afternoon, Gene Schultz is moving to the morning and replacing Corba. Corba will be speaking in the afternoon. Babs will be speaking at lunchtime, and Bill Cheswick will be speaking at a special 6:10 session. Unless some speaker cancels out, Bill Cheswick will speak at a different time. What I'd like you to do is, if you'd like to continue talking to John, he loves drinks, reception is next door where lunch was. I'd like to invite you to continue talking over there. Thank you, John.